Today is Sunday, July 26, 2011, and you've tuned in to the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. I received a poem today in my email from a friend of mine by Augustus Toplady called Free Will and Free Grace. It's not a poem, it's actually a little article, and I want to read it real quickly. He says, "It pleased God to deliver me from the Arminian snare before I was quite 18. Antecedently to that period, there was not but the lowest self-abasement, I confessed it, a more haughty and violent free-willer within the compass of the four seas. One instance of my warm and bitter zeal occurs just now to my memory. About a 12-month before the divine goodness gave me eyes to discern and a heart to embrace the truth, I was haranguing one day in company, for I believed myself able to cope with all the predestinarians in the world, on the universality of grace and the powers of human free agency. A good old gentleman, now with God, rose from his chair and, coming to mine, held me by one of my coat buttons while he mildly addressed me to this effect: 'My dear sir, there are some marks of spirituality in your conversation, though tinged with an unhappy mixture of pride and self-righteousness. You have been speaking largely in favor of free will, but from arguments, let us come to experience. Do let me ask you one question. How was it with you when the Lord laid hold on you in effectual calling? Had you any hand in obtaining that grace? Nay, would you not have resisted and baffled it, and God's own spirit had left you in the hand of your own counsel? I felt the conclusiveness of these simple but forceful interrogations more strongly than I was then willing to acknowledge. But blessed be God, I have since been enabled to acknowledge the freeness and omnipotence of His grace, times without number, and to sing what I trust will be my everlasting song when time shall be no more. Not unto me, O Lord, not unto me, but unto thy name give all the glory. We never know so much of heaven in our own souls, nor stand so high upon the mount of communion with God, as when his spirit breathing on our hearts makes us lie low at the footstool of sovereign grace, and inspires us with the cry, O God, be mine to comfort of salvation. But thine be the entire praise of it." I guess it's Top Lady. And this is, of course, the person that wrote Rock of Ages, "Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And it's amazing, but shows that before he was 18 years old, he was a rank Arminian. Do we have a selection?
96.
Page 96. 96.
When thou, my righteous judge,
shall come to fetch thy ransom people. Fetch thy ransom people. Show us among your stand. Show such a worthless worm as I do. Sometimes am afraid to die. Sometimes am afraid to die. Deep out of desire I am. I love to meet among you now, before thy gracious deed to bow, before thy gracious deed to bow, the vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name shall be left out? What if my name shall be left out when thou for them shall call? Prevented by thy grace, be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place in this exalted day. Thy pardoning voice, oh, let me hear, to still my unbelieving fear. To still my unbelieving fear, and grant me faith, I pray. Let me among thy saints be found, where'er archangels rush us down. Where'er archangels rush us down, to see thy smiling face. To smile among the crowd I sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring. While heaven's resounding mansions ring, with shouts of song and grace. The Lord, my precious shepherd, I am his little sheep. He leads me to his pastures green, beside still waters deep. In righteous paths he leadeth me, lest I should go astray. Restores my soul and makes me glad. I praise him day by day. Who through the shades of death I walk, the valley dark and drear, his rod and staff they comfort me. For he is always near. My head with holy dust anoint, my cup the Lord with joy. The feast my Lord prepares for me, my bones cannot destroy. Goodness and mercy follow me, their joys I cannot tell. They comfort me and give me hope, that in his house I'll dwell. I want to praise him while I live, because he loves me so, and lies to give that glory world a perfect praise I'll know.
363.
Tis the point I long to know, often comes this anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this stolen life of strain? Hardly sure can they be worse, who have never heard his name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer of task and burden true. I wise the more. Find in times of promise sweet. If I did not love the Lord, let me love thee more and more. Touch me with thy love, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today.
Two oh two.
When the storm in its fury on Galilee fell, and in its waters on high, and in the faithless disciples were found in the spell, Jesus whispered, "Fear not, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. The storm could not ferry that were in the way, was taught through the tempest to fly. It shall reach its disciples in every age, saying, be not afraid, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass and the sunshine appear, by the light-giving word in his eye. When death is at hand and is God into play, he is led with a tremulous sigh. The gracious Redeemer will light all the way, saying, be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. Precious in the storms of life raging sea, is an anchor to my soul, speaking peace to me, speaking peace to me, of my Lord and King. Hope dispels my sorrow, speaking peace to me. Hope so worthless to the blind and the scholar say, to the trembling child of grace, struggling on his way. Struggling on his way, toiling every day, to the weary pilgrim, struggling on his way. Hope when unbelief is strong and temptation sore, keeps us ever pressing on toward the blissful shore, toward the blissful shore, where will I no more? Hope our guiding compass toward the blissful shore, hope of heaven's sinless light is the prospect near. I can never be compared to our sorrows here, to our sorrows here, fleeting fading care. You cannot compare with endless glories there.
249
will be our last one before we switch over. 249. My Savior and my God, faith is this glowing heart rejoice, and hellish raptures all around. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vow to him whose merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Gifts of the great transactions then
I am my Lord's, and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, trusting success, the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Well, it took a lot longer. It didn't take God longer, but God chose to wait a lot longer to reveal His sovereignty to me than He revealed it to Top Lady. I was 37 years old when I was given the spiritual eyes to see the sovereignty of God in all things. And it's amazing how God works with different people in a different time of their life to reveal Himself to them, to His people, to His elect. And it's amazing how God reveals Himself to His prophets down through the Old Testament, and also to the disciples and the followers of Christ in the New Testament. And, you know, sometimes we look at our life situations and we're disappointed by certain things, but we have to remember that God has a divine appointment for everyone in our disappointment. Now, I'm going to read a poem entitled "The Disappointment, His Appointment." He says, "Disappointment, His Appointment, change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning open to His wisdom lies. Disappointment, His appointment. Whose? The Lord who loves me best, understands and knows me fully, whom my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parent, He rejoices when He knows that His child accepts unquestioned all that from His wisdom flows. Disappointment, His appointment, no good thing will He withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of His love untold. Well, He knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all His dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, His appointment, Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to Thy touch. All my life's plan in Thy molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will but Thine." Edith Lillian Young, and this was sent to me again by my friend Rita Beckett, and it's very true. We all have been given a divine appointment, and the Bible tells us that even our bounds of our habitation are in His hands. We can see that throughout Scripture. You can see that in the life of Joseph, many other of the Old Testament saints' lives, as well as those in the New Testament, including Peter and Paul and John and a number of other disciples. It's very clear. And we see in the second epistle of Timothy, the second chapter, the 19th verse says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And if we look at the nature of God, we find that God's nature is a nature that is unfathomable. Because the fact that He is God, we will never fully understand Him because He is God. And it says, we're going to go back and look in a passage here in Isaiah, in the second chapter of Isaiah, and the 17th verse, the loftiness and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And there's a lack of instruction and teaching today about the nature of the glory and magnificence of God. And a lot of people try to place man's wisdom above God's wisdom. The fifth chapter of Isaiah, the 20th verse says, 21st verse says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There are a lot of people out there that are not giving God the glory, not only in salvation, but also in creation and in His divine providence. And He says, says here that over in the we're going to go now over to the 26th chapter of Isaiah, third verse says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He laid it low even to the ground, he brings it to the dust. But in the 12th verse, he says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. When we think we've accomplished a lot in this world, we need to remember that we have a divine appointment by God. And God is in charge. God has ordained these things. And, you know, I have often thought about those who teach another gospel. It's all up to the free will of man, not only in their person's own success or not success, but also in their own spiritual birth and their continued walk. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 11th verse says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It says in the 22nd chapter of chapter 40, 22nd verse of chapter 40, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as a grasshopper. Stretcheth out the heavens as a circle and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. And he concludes that 40th chapter with some questions, beginning with the 28th verse. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A we have a divine appointment even in the midst of our disappointments. And when our disappointments seem to overwhelm us, we must remember that this is the appointment by God given to us. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah, he says in the third verse of the 45th chapter, he says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And he warns us in the 9th verse, woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potter strive with the potters of the earth, shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hand. And the other thing we have to realize, that in the context of God's divine appointment, it's larger than an individual appointment. It is a divine decree over all of His creation. 46th chapter of Isaiah, the 10th verse says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Well, people today don't want to give God the glory in these things. They make God a figment of their imagination. And when we think of God as the Creator, that created all things, you know, He created all things. And in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 8th verse says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The 11th verse says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it. We feel like that we have reached a point of total disappointment in our lives. We need to be reminded that this disappointment we're going through is God's appointment. And 57th chapter of Isaiah, the 15th verse says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. So when we're lay low and our souls are discouraged, let's remember that we have a divine appointment. And we also, why do you think that so many times we find through Scripture where the Israelites are reminded, for example, in the Old Testament, how that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, made them to pass over the dry land on the Red Sea, and how he had conquered their enemies before them. And sometimes we forget all of the victories that God has given us throughout our lives. And in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, 7th verse says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. And he says in the 11th verse, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led him by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a portion of the wilderness, that they should not stumble? Well, sometimes we, like the Israelites, forget all of the good things that God has done for us, and especially when we're in the midst of suffering or persecution. And God has granted us an everlasting covenant, and his covenant will not falter or fail. In the final verses of Isaiah, very last chapter of Isaiah, chapter 66, 22nd verse, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So shall your seed and your name remain. What a promise to us, that we have a divine appointment in the midst of our disappointments. And we don't have to be discouraged. And when we are, we go back to God's Word for our encouragement. Now I want to look back and conclude this time in 1 Peter, the first epistle of, and the first chapter of Peter. And it says, third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, a lot of people say, well, we don't have any guarantees. Yes, we do. If we are trusting in the merit of Christ's righteousness, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it's not going to fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. And we are kept, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. So now for a season, if need be, if you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that's what we're talking about here, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, will be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the end result can be found in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, that's a tremendous promise. And for us walking in our daily lives, we can find in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, the 10th verse, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Not to glorify the free will of man, which doesn't exist. To him be glory. And so the message today is, in the midst of disappointment, let us realize that I heard this guy that's on this show that does a financial show here in Kansas City. What's his name? The guy that always...
Dave Ramsey.
Mocking the Word of God. Yes. He said, don't give me Romans 8:28 when I can't make my next car payment. Let me tell you something. All things work together for them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose, Dave Ramsey. If they're called according to his purpose, not even being able to make your car payment can be is to the glory of God. And he was absolutely mocking Romans 8:28, mocking it. He calls himself a Christian. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that includes not being able to make a car payment. It includes all things work together, not some things. And we may not be able to understand a lot of things that are going on in our life and the disappointments we have to go through. But we must remember that we are clay in the hands of the potter. Do we have a selection?
34A.
Psalm 34. Psalm 34. At all times I will bless the Lord and praise my mouth in his glory. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, and he shall hear with joy. So magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. In all my fears I sought the Lord, from him deliverance came. They looked to him and radiant were, ashamed they shall not be. This poor man cried, Jehovah heard, from trouble set him free. The angel of the Lord encamps around and compassed there. All those about them do him fear and then deliver him. O taste and see the Lord is good, who trust in him are blessed. Fear God, his saints, and that in fear shall be with one oppressed. The lion shall may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Father, we pray that you go with us this week. Help us to remember in our disappointments that we are and have been given a divine appointment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Job 23:14 says, for he performeth the thing which is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God bless.